Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts this week. You know, it's a wonderful time of the year. It's Mother's Day. It's a beautiful weather-wise day. It's a way to celebrate our parents, our mothers, and we also celebrate this day, Bethel Heritage. We're celebrating Heritage Sunday and Mother's Day together. I think that's pretty cool. Because, yeah, we have a heritage for where the Bethel Church started, and you can find all that history. Phil does an amazing job getting it to us. But I was thinking, what a joy it is to celebrate Heritage Sunday and Mother's Day on the same day. Guess who has given us a wonderful heritage? Yes, it was our moms. I don't care what the world says, but I'll guarantee you, we all have a mom. Might not be a mom that we like. It might not be a mom that we know, but there's a lot of good stepmoms that fill the gap. It's amazing. God created women with such a nurturing gift that we celebrate Mother's Day. And I hope and pray that you do know your mother, or maybe she's still here, or maybe she went home to be with the Lord. But if you don't, God had created something for us very special. He had an idea. He wanted to create a family. So he created a man and a woman. Way back in the Garden of Eden, yeah, they had some challenges, but the family was birthed, and God had a family. It was a great idea, right from the beginning of creation. I don't think there's no other greater institution or no better group of people to affect positive change in the world as the human family created in the image of God. There's no better place to learn the essential principles of life, is there? The institution. I don't think there's another group of people anywhere with more power and ability to destroy a person than the family. Physical and verbal abuse happens, we know about that. As well as neglect can damage the emotional well-being of a child, well into adulthood and often for a lifetime. So the failure of parents to teach spiritual truths to their children directly impacts their relationship, not only with God, but how they would treat others. You know, family is the environment that shapes a child's lifetime decision. Oh, the world is in a battle. Our world wants our kids. Our world wants to destroy families. But you know, God's unique idea was from the beginning that there is no greater institution, no better group of people to affect positive change in the world than the family. Created in God's image. Oh yeah, as I mentioned, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people out there with power and ability to destroy, and we have to recognize that. But the family environment that shapes a child's lifetime direction. And when some of these children get messed up and they get into all that, the church and the church family is there to rescue them, for lack of a better term. So we have to recognize our responsibility as church family, you know. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. When we become united, male and female, we become one flesh, and then we become members of God's family. And we have a responsibility. I think God planned for husbands and wives to join him in creation. We are co-creators with God. And it's a wonderful privilege of teaming up with God to create children and families and all of that. It's a thing to celebrate. You know, celebrate the way and praise God for the families. It says in Deuteronomy 12:7. There you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you will rejoice in all you have accomplished because he has blessed you. So family celebrations, like Mother's Day, like Father's Day, like birthdays, any kind of family celebrations are an effective way to bond family members to each other and, more importantly, to God. What a joy. You know, it's amazing. We all have them. We all have a mother. And somewhere we might have a father. But more importantly, we have a mother. That's where it goes back to. We all have them, a parent. Good, bad, or indifferent. And most parents have good influence on our lives. And then there's single parents. I don't know about you, but many of us, I think, eventually have become parents ourselves, one way or the other, for better or for worse, as they say. Influence on the lives of our children. Now, I made a lot of mistakes with my family and children, and I don't know about you, but I was glad that I was able to get it all back together and have a godly family before I left this old earth in my earth suit to go to heaven. We all have thousands and thousands of chances. So if you messed up, don't worry about it. Ask God to forgive you and help get you back on the right path. That's what we're talking about. Oh, Jesus is not here, preacher. No, but he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us. And he started a church so that we can come and encourage one another. I think, and I hope and pray, that every parent learns early on that it's much easier to produce a child than to be a parent. Serving simultaneously, like, think about what a parent has to do. And moms especially, nurse, doctor, teacher, coach, disciplinarian, friend, and spiritual role model. Wise parents who look to God's word for encouragement and direction. Fortunately, parents themselves have a role model, a God who is called Father. It's an amazing relationship that God has given to us in ways that we can relate. So, honor your mother and your father. It talks to us about that in Proverbs. I mentioned, if you want to go and look at the Proverbs reading, this week, or I'll share it with you now in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 23. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord among the brethren. My son, obey your father's command, and don't neglect your mother's teaching. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck, and whenever you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you, and when you wake up in the morning, they will advise you. For these commands and this teaching are a lamp to light the way ahead of you. The correction of discipline is the way to life. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day and being with mom and celebrating the joys of Mother's Day. And if there's stress and strain in that particular day or that relationship, you know, God knows. Just ask him. We're going to have a prayer here in a little bit, but learn to pray. Learn to say, Lord, I heard that you sent one greater than yourself, which is the Holy Spirit. I need your help, and I need to crawl up on your lap and talk to you. You'll do that. I guarantee it. But this is also Heritage Sunday. As I mentioned, this little church started at the Bethel Pond many years ago, 1834. And it was really the Methodist group of folks that got together, really came together as the original thing back in England in the 18th century. It became a revival movement and became a separate denomination only after John Wesley's death, because he was a priest in the Anglican Church, or what we call the Church of England, and he never intended to start a denomination. His whole purpose, when his heart was strangely warm, And we'll look at that next week on May the 21st, what fourth, that that he could get a revival within the Church of England. And he did a good job at doing that. The movement spread throughout the British Empire and eventually into the United States and beyond because of the vigorous missionary work of John and Charles Wesley and some of the fellows that was part of what he called the Holy Club. And now Methodists have, United Methodists is whatever we call ourselves, has over 80 million worldwide people that call themselves Methodists. The Autonomous Method Episcopal Church was organized in 1784 in our country in Baltimore, Maryland, with two fellows that John sent over here as bishops, Thomas Coke and Francis Asbury, and he anointed them, and they became superintendents and then later bishops, and the word spread rapidly. But I always like the buts, not only in scripture but in history, but various schisms developed. Now, you think, well, golly, they had schisms way back then between this group and that group, and yeah, they did. So in 1830, a dissenting group organized the Methodist Protestant Church, a non-Episcopal church, if you would. So the Methodist Church became as a reformation of the Church of England. The Methodist movement started with a collection of young men, including John Wesley and his younger brother Charles, as an act of reform within the Church of England. We are so grateful that Charles and John sent Thomas Coke and Francis Asbury to our country to establish some things, because the Church of England, which was the church in our country in them days, were very strict and very staunch. There was not a movement of the Spirit. So revival and revival, and just, it was just a wonderful thing that happened. And here we are, some 200 and some years later, still a church. Oh yeah, we got our challenges, but we're still a church of the living God through Christ. Well, just a little bit of history, just a thumbnail sketch of how we became Methodists. Methodists, the reason why is whenever they were forming the Holy Club way back in England, people used to criticize them and make fun of them and all that. Oh, look at that over there. They done formed a Holy Club. Well, they weren't saying that they were more holy than anybody else. But they finally come to realize that this thing called Methodism was because they come up with a method to study the Bible and to encourage others. That's really all it truly was. We have a couple prayer requests that was in our offering plate. Linda Sassine's sister Judy is in need of a special touch, and Lord, hear our prayers. And there's always, if you click on the slides on the pastor's thoughts and prayers, it'll pull up all the people that we have on our prayer list at church. So hope and pray that you'll look at them and put them on your personal prayers of intercession. You know, when Jesus was here, before he sent the Holy Spirit, he walked with the disciples and they went and ministered everywhere. And then, as they always did at the end of the day, they were tired. They did. They walked everywhere they went. And they would stop and build a fire and fellowship for a little bit and cook and eat. And but Jesus always kind of went off by himself. And they didn't understand, Lord, why do you go off by yourself? Well, you know, guys, I am God in the flesh. And I'm just like you guys in a lot of ways in the physical body that I have. I get tired, I get hungry, and more importantly, I need to talk to the Father. Wow, can we talk to the Father? He says, you can. I'm going to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. Let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. in ever. If your mom is still with us in this old world, give her a hug and tell her that you love them. And if she's already home in heaven, tell the Holy Spirit, give my mom a hug, Lord. And thank you for Methodism and the history of our little church known as Bethel. Have a good day.